What if there were a medical practice that could figure out why you're tired, why you're gaining weight, why you're struggling through menopause or hooked on medications, and restore your vitality by addressing genetics, diet, nutrition, environmental exposures, stress, exercise, or psycho-spiritual needs? And what if that same medical practice could offer you cosmetic procedures to keep you looking more youthful? The Falcone Center for Functional Cosmetic and Integrative Medicine in Ballard-Kinwood is part of a rapidly growing movement to shift our understanding of disease away from the end diagnosis to looking at the interconnectedness of the systems of the body. Dr. Victoria Falcone is the center's founder and came to talk about this new approach.
Well, Dr. Vicki Falcone, welcome to the WIMS file. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
You are always on the cutting edge of medicine because you have been the first in this area to do many different modalities, and your focus for a long time was cosmetic medicine, but you're now taking a very bold step and combining the idea of cosmetic medicine with functional and integrative whole person medicine. And this is a really very different approach to how we view this field of feeling better, looking better, how they're connected, the roots of illness and all of that. Tell me about the work and research you've been doing and why you decided to put these things all together in one place.
Well, over the course of the last several years, I noticed more and more patients coming in who would want a liposuction procedure done. And they would describe to me that they couldn't lose weight, they weren't sleeping properly, they were exercising more and eating less and nothing was changing, or they had chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, food sensitivities they never had before. And it really posed a dilemma for me because I felt like in order to really help that person, we needed to look at their underlying cause of their disease process or their inability to lose weight. If I just did liposuction, sure, I could change their body for that moment, but if we didn't address the underlying problem, they would gain the weight back in some other place, and it really wouldn't restore them to feeling vital and vibrant, which is really the goal. When you have to do a cosmetic procedure, you want to look better and have it make you feel better, but if underlying that is something like chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or poor sleep patterns or hormonal imbalances, you're not going to achieve that through a cosmetic procedure. And the more I looked into functional and integrated medicine, the more I was absolutely fascinated of where medicine has gone in the last even 5 to 10 years and our ability to look at people's underlying medical problems from a totally different perspective. Instead of treating their symptoms and their diagnosis, we can actually do highly specialized tests, take extensive histories, and target some of the problems that lead them to developing on the path of illness rather than the path of wellness. So functional medicine really looks at the whole person, looks at their toxins, their toxicities, their exposures, their nutritional status, their hormonal imbalances, the health of their gut, their sleep patterns, even the stressors in their life, the emotional stressors, the financial stressors. We look at the whole person and try to find those factors that will lead them back to wellness rather than illness.
Well, that is so interesting because I think we've all been waiting for that kind of medicine. We know that we're whole people and we're not just one illness or one disease or one complaint. You know, everything is interconnected, and we need the kind of approach that you're doing because it's very hurtful to live a life that your quality of life is diminished because you have chronic pain and fibromyalgia and food sensitivities and all the things that you listed there. You're finding in your research that these problems are pandemic. You know, they're huge. Lots and lots and lots of people have this, especially women.
Yes, it's actually somewhat scary. 1 in 3 Americans today has a chronic illness. The rate of cancer went from 1 in 12 in the 1950s, and now it's 1 in 2 for women, or 1 in 2 for men and 1 in 3 for women. It's really, you look at the rate of autism, childhood allergies, it's just going up exponentially, and it's scary. And there's things that we can do about it because we now have the testing, and medicine has advanced to the point that we can look into factors that are leading to these chronic disease processes and affect change.
You were mentioning that these are not exactly approaches that you were taught in medical school. You're taught more of a style of pharmaceutical medicine, which is mainstream medicine or whatever you want to call it, historically the model that we use. But medicine is changing, and this is part of it, correct?
Yeah, functional medicine is probably the most rapidly growing field of medicine right now. In medical school, I would say I might have had 1 week of nutritional teaching. And nutrition and food is really our medicine. Food is the most important thing we can do to fuel our body with the proper nutrients that we need for it to do the processes it's supposed to do. So we weren't taught much of nutrition, not just me where I went to medical school, but across the country, they surveyed medical schools, and nutrition is a very small part of medical teaching. In addition, a lot of these tests that we have now didn't even exist. And I went to medical school back in 1995, so I'm not that far out, but these tests that we're doing today, they didn't exist back then. So medicine has now become very state-of-the-art. The things that we can diagnose now are very different. We've now mapped the whole human genome in the last 10 years. So we can, for $100, get someone's entire genome, and we can look at it and determine how they metabolize things like B12 and folate. And we can do something called nutrigenomics, which we can give them specific nutritional profiles of things they should be doing to maximize and optimize their health. So I can go on and on. It's completely fascinating.
And it's revolutionary. Now, that genome thing, there's something in there that scares me a little bit. Like, does that kind of testing involve telling me what kind of diseases are down the road, or it's just analyzing what, what I need to be eating?
It can do both.
Or not eating. Yeah.
But you have to consider certain things. Even though 1 in 8 women has breast cancer, will get breast cancer in this country, most of the people who get breast cancer don't have the gene for breast cancer. Most of the people who have the Alzheimer's gene, some of them who have it don't get Alzheimer's disease. So that leads you to thinking, what are the other factors that lead to these disease processes? You have to look at our food, our environment, our exposures, the chemicals we touch, the things we put on our body, what's in our drinking water. This is what's impacting our health today. You know, back in the 50s, we had far fewer chemicals than we have today. Now we have 80,000 registered chemicals, and most of these haven't been tested on humans, but they're in our food, they're in our water, they're in the pesticides that we spray on our lawns. What we're doing today to our health can be changed. You just have to become aware of it.
You know, I have to share the fact that over the past year, I have tried to make some big changes in my life because I was feeling very unwell, very stressed. I had a lot of chronic pain. I had a lot of brain fog and depression, and I just wasn't enjoying my life, and I wasn't able to handle the stress that we all face from various sources, and I knew I had to change some things. So I just started sort of guessing what might be the problem and started taking things out of my diet, and I spent, particularly gluten and sugar and as much processed food as I could. And I have to say, I feel so much better. I'm not quite there yet. So I need to come to the Falcone Center so I can have one of these analyses to find out what it is that I should be avoiding in addition to the things that I've already found. But I was astonished that no doctor had ever said to me, what do you eat? Or are you depressed? Or do you have chronic pain? Or what, how long is this? So nobody ever asked me, and maybe I was a little ashamed to ask for that kind of help because I didn't really even know what I was asking for. But I'm just really happy that we're at a point now where people can go into a facility like yours and have somebody map out, look, this is what, you need to do to change things up and feel better.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I hear your story all the time.
Yeah.
Other men and women. And even children with autism suffer some of the same underlying root causes of their problems. And it's very disheartening. And the funny thing is, most of us don't know how poorly we feel until we start to feel better. So the things we did in our youth, they start to show up in our 40s. You get fatigue, you get aches and pains in the morning, you have headaches, you have irritable bowel syndrome or some food sensitivities that you didn't have before. But it's what we did in our youth, what we exposed ourselves to, that starts to show up. And it just creeps into our life. But until it hits that critical level, you don't realize, wow, I don't feel like I felt 5 years ago. What could be causing that? And it's not necessarily your doctor's fault that they don't ask these questions, because conventional medicine is really looking at acute disease processes. It's looking at what is your diagnosis and how do we take your symptoms and do something to get rid of your symptoms. So that's how conventional medicine doctors are trained. But in functional medicine, we're trying to figure out, well, what did you expose yourself to? Do you have a heavy load of mercury that could possibly be contributing to your pain? You know, were you, did you grow up in a farm where they sprayed pesticides all the time? You know, just is your diet filled with processed food that has chemicals and artificial dyes in it that could be causing you to have hyperactivity or difficulty sleeping? So medicine has really come a long way, and I think as people get frustrated and feel the way that you do, they go to the internet to find information, but you could find a functional medicine practitioner, and they could help you make a more rapid transition back to health.
I'm chatting with Dr. Victoria Falcone, the founder of the Falcone Center for Functional, Cosmetic, and Integrative Medicine in Dallas, Inwood. Somebody shouldn't have to hit bottom, though, to get help. You know, we shouldn't have to feel so horrible that we feel like we can't, you know, go on another day, which is where I was a year ago, where I thought, you know, I surrender. You know, something has got to, you know, and I, you know, they eat well and work out or move more and eat less. And, you know, that just isn't enough for most of us. We all know that, but we can't do it for one, and especially if you're in chronic pain. You're not likely to want to jump out of bed and walk 2 miles every morning or every other morning or whatever. So it's very difficult to know what to do, and I'm just really overjoyed to learn that, you know, medicine is coming along with this point of view.
Yeah. Health is not the absence of disease. Health is vitality. So you don't have to wait until you can't get out of bed. If you don't feel the way you felt, even just a few years ago, if something has changed, that's the time to get help. You see, those symptoms I mentioned, you know, fatigue and little headaches and aches and pains, those are warning signs of impending illness. So if you don't pay attention when they first show up, something worse is going to happen because there's signs of inflammation and something going awry in your body. And you want to address it early because you can reverse the course of illness. You don't want to wait till you develop Alzheimer's disease. You want to say, hey, I have brain fog. Why do I have brain fog? Why can't I remember what I used to be able to remember 6 months ago? And you want to try to figure out why that's happening so that that inflammation that was created by whatever is going on in your body can be eliminated.
Yeah, and it's tied to heart disease and stroke and, you know, cancer and all manner of illnesses. So it's important. And I think women often, you know, we're trained kind of culturally not to complain and not to, you know, we just suck it up. And, you know, yeah, you got pain, you still got to drive the carpool today, you know. So it's very easy to think this is just something that, you know, this is a burden I must carry and there's nothing for me. But at the Falcone Center and other places, you know, doctors are starting to come up with a way that we don't have to live in that place anymore.
Yeah, you really don't have to. Now, there are some disease states that are, you know, if you get into a car accident and you injure your arm, yes, perhaps you have pain from that. But we shouldn't be walking around that everything hurts all the time. You know, if you're a younger person and you feel like you can't even get up and exercise because you don't have the energy or your muscles hurt, there's something wrong with that, and don't accept that. Go for vitality. We're on that continuum. You're either on the continuum of health and wellness. You're either headed toward illness or you're headed toward wellness. So you can choose. So when you start getting on the illness path, you need to reverse it and go back the other way. And it may be simple things like you did, like taking gluten out of your diet. Some people are gluten sensitive, and that makes a huge change. But you're not going to know what is causing your symptoms until you start researching and digging deep and thinking about all the things in the past that have contributed to where you are today. It may be emotional trauma. It may be toxic people in your life. It may be job stress that's causing you to eat differently, and get lack of exercise is causing you to age because you're not circulating your blood enough and oxygenating your organs. So I'm just mentioning all these things in case something really resonates with you, because it's not going to be one thing that will bring you back to feeling vital. It's a combination of things, and then changing your life, as you did, Emily, to put yourself in a better course.
The other interesting element that we haven't talked about is the cosmetic medicine part, which you've been doing for years. But I believe these things belong together because we all want to look better and feel better. It's not enough to just feel a little bit better and still, you know, still feel that you don't look good when you're in front of other people. So I really like the fact that you're keeping your cosmetic practice and bringing these other elements in, because it is a whole person sort of approach, especially for women. I mean, there's no such thing as permission to get old anymore. I feel like, you know, we're all working. None of us have saved enough for retirement. We're all going to be working until we're, you know, well beyond 60, and we need to keep up with these things, and we need to, like, feel our best and look our best.
Sure. It's funny, though. Some women feel that coming in for Botox or filler will make them look like somebody on The Desperate Housewives or somebody in Hollywood, and that's what cosmetic medicine is about. Really, I would say most of my patients, the gross majority, they just want to look more youthful. They want to look refreshed. So if you have big frown lines between your eyebrows, that doesn't, you could feel fantastic, but you're always going to look stern and you're going to look angry and tired. So a little procedure like Botox or putting some filler around your frown lines, around your mouth, can really restore a youthful appearance so you feel good inside and out. That's the ultimate goal. We all want to wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, say, wow, I feel great, let's go hit the day.
At the Falcone Center, you know, you do all manner of the cosmetic procedures, as we mentioned, and these keep getting more and more refined. I'm always, like, shocked at how non-invasive these things. I mean, we're down to, what, like a piece of spaghetti or something, these tubes that do liposuction, and you can do a very refined procedures on people. It's not like the old days with the violent bruising procedures that we used to have. So this too has become more sophisticated and more accessible as time has gone on, these things.
Sure. Liposuction has advanced more in the last 7 years than it's probably advanced in the last 25 years. We have less invasive technology. We have lasers that are a millimeter wide. They can be placed under the skin to tighten the skin and liquefy the fat so it can be removed in a much more gentle manner. This smart lipo procedure, which we're discussing, it's fantastic in the sense that it was the first procedure to enhance skin tightening with liposuction, and that was FDA approved back in 2006. The lasers have become, you know, faster with advanced tightening techniques, but essentially it's still this whole movement toward less trauma, less bruising, enhanced tightening has occurred in, you know, really just the blink of the eye in the last 7 years. So more and more people are seeking out liposuction in particular. It's the number one cosmetic procedure, and it can be done on an outpatient basis while you're awake under local anesthesia. While you're sitting there talking to the doctor, they can be liquefying and removing your fat cells. So it's pretty amazing.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah.
Liquefying and removing your fat cells. Okay. That's on my to-do list. Tell me what the test is, the genome test. Is this blood work we're speaking of? Is that how it's done?
Actually, you can do it through blood work, but there's also a test that's a saliva test that you can get.
Oh.
Yeah, and you can order it through www.23andme.com, and it's a saliva test. They send the kit to your house. You spit into this tube, you send it back, and in 8 weeks your results show up. Now, some of the things you talked about, like risk factors, they will show up in the test. But some of it is really looking at the genome and having that process so that a functional medicine doctor can look at it. There's these things called single nucleotide polymorphisms. They're like little genetic mutations that can occur that affect the way your body can process and metabolize certain, you know, chemicals or certain nutrients. So some of it you can look at yourself and gain a fantastic education, and some of it you may need a little bit of help in getting the real underlying interesting information out of it. You can also get some of that information from a blood test that can be ordered by your doctor. That would be a methylation profile that your doctor could order, although they might not exactly know how to interpret it. A conventional medicine doctor might look at the results and not know what to do with them. But, you know, there is information out there that we can get. And I think the genetic testing, even though we don't know everything about the genetic code right now, we have it. And as medicine advances further and science advances, we're going to gain more and more information. So once you have your genetic code, that's not going to change. You'll have it forever. So it's worth your investment.
You know, I have to confess that I was very afraid to be honest with my doctor. I was very, first of all, very afraid to go for a full physical. I'd been to the doctor, and it wasn't that you know, they weren't taking blood sometimes, and they were, I haven't been for a physical in 15 years. I haven't gone in and said, just tell me what's wrong with me kind of thing. And I was really afraid of getting the, you know, medical scolding. In fact, I called the office before I went in and said, look, don't give me, I was starting a new practice, please don't give me the guy that's going to try to tough love me and ball me out and tell me it's your weight. Just lose weight, everything will be great. You know, I don't want to, I don't want to be shamed. I want to be working with my doctor and feel like a partner in my own health care. And even though I knew I was supposed, you know, I'm an advocate for women's causes and health, and I know you're supposed to put yourself on the list, like, I was totally not doing that, and I was even, like, kind of afraid to do it because I was afraid I'd be kind of lamed, I guess. Well, of course, you have a horrible lifestyle and diet. Of course you're ill. You know, then one day I woke up and said, well, you can't put your head in the sand and avoid illness, and, you know, people depend on me, and I need to be healthier, so... I'm imagining in your practice at the Falcone Center that you, because you're looking at the whole person, it's a much more universal way of looking at someone's health, and it feels to me like there wouldn't be so much blaming and shaming, which does happen to women in doctor's offices sometimes, especially if you're overweight.
Sure, I do understand what you're saying. I think in general doctors do want to help you, but with the pressures that a normal family doctor has and seeing a patient is 15 minutes, they don't always have the luxury of time to really talk to you and understand what's going on. I mean, if your weight is an issue because you're an emotional eater, the doctor might not even have time to get to that piece, and you'll leave feeling that they're just blaming you when they didn't even really have time to fully explore the issue. So when you go to a functional medicine doctor or you go to a private practice, we spend 60 to 90 minutes with each patient. Our interviews are extensive because we really do want to know all the details. I can't make you any better if I don't know what's wrong. And if you're not honest with me, then how will I figure out the puzzle that you can figure out on your own? So it's much more extensive when you're doing a functional medicine history. And from that history, we'll try and figure out if there are any other tests we have to order or where it's going to be the starting point. So I listen for a long period of time, and then I come up with a list of things that in my mind need to be addressed. And then you and I will work together to figure out the starting point. Because me telling someone, hey, you need to lose weight, well, that isn't going to cut it if that's not where they're at that point. Maybe we just want to start with a few simple food changes. Maybe there's something going wrong in their gut bacteria which makes it difficult for them to lose weight. Or maybe they have a complete hormonal imbalance because they're stressed out all the time and their cortisol levels keeping their weight on. So me telling you to lose weight is not going to do anything until we figure out all the contributing factors, whether it's emotional, physical, biochemical. We have to look at all of it in one.
Well, I'm really interested in your research into, you know, children and autism and, you know, how taking medicine down to the cellular level that you're taking it to has improved their lives. There are some very good outcomes treating autism nutritionally, right?
Yes. It's really called biochemical treatment of autism, and it does involve nutrition. But a lot of these children were developing normal until a certain, some point. When things just tipped over the edge, something happened to their immune system that affected their neurologic system. And it's really a puzzle because every child is very different. But with the rate of autism now being 1 in 55, we all need to really wake up because it's an epidemic. And we need to protect our children and look at really treating them. So some physicians refer their patients just to have therapies like ABA, applied behavioral analysis, treatments to help them to function in the world. But where I have the most passion and where I want to help people is treating the underlying illness. Was it that the patient had lots of ear infections when they were a child, and they were given lots of antibiotics, which threw off their gut? The gut, there's 70% of your immune system is in your gut. So if you have dysbiotic flora in your gut that aren't supposed to be there, or an overgrowth of yeast, it can affect your psychology, it can affect your brain development. So even something as simple as putting patients on probiotics and doing a stool analysis to determine what bacteria are currently growing in their gut and treating those bacteria and restoring health in the gut, that can even lead to changes in children with autism. It's quite shocking, actually. Sometimes those children react to wheat the same way you do, Emily, that when they do, they take in wheat, they get brain fog. But the American diet is so based in wheat and dairy, so we can do simple pinprick blood tests and determine if they have a wheat sensitivity. And from that, take them off of wheat, and all of a sudden, the child who no longer was speaking, in a week or two, is acquiring words at a rapid rate. Now, there are some children who start out profoundly autistic, and for whatever reason, we can't figure out their puzzle. But there are many children, and the earlier you get them, the better, that we can change the course of their entire life. So in the words of Stan Kurtz, he's a parent who recovered his child of autism. He always said that you can't cure somebody of being hit by a bus, but you can recover them. And that's how I see autism. So, you know, a child who was hit and they were diagnosed with autism, you're not going to erase it. They began autistic, but you can fully recover them and restore them to a normal course of development and a normal life.
I'm talking to Dr. Vicki Falcone, the founder of the Falcone Center for Functional Cosmetic and Integrative Medicine here in Ballackinwood. I'm still taking in the idea that 70% of our immune system is based in the gut. I didn't know that, and that's a pretty powerful revelation, really, because I guess I always thought it was more genetic, or I don't know, but I'm astonished that that is the case. So it really is what we're eating that is damaging our ability to fight disease and to have quality of life.
It's so true. Actually, it was a revelation to me, too, even being a physician, because we weren't taught to think about nutrition and food as part of the very important things we did to treat patients. It was a very small part of what we did to educate patients. You know, somebody had high cholesterol, we'll tell them to go on a low cholesterol diet. But now we're saying that we actually need good fats in our bodies. So we were telling all of these patients to reduce fats because their cholesterol is high, and then we're seeing changes because you need good fats for your brain and your immune system to make hormones. So it's medicine is changing, and we all need to be part of the movement and reading and researching. But I tell everyone when they come in that food is your medicine and medicine is your food. So if you want to do something now to change your health, start looking at your diet and what you're putting in your body. You know, start looking at what's been put in your food and your meat, the water that you drink. You need to consider all of these factors because we will not have the health of our grandparents if we continue to eat all the processed food diet that we have. You know, if we continue to eat meat that has antibiotics and hormones in it, if we continue to eat wheat that's not the same wheat that our parents ate, has four times as much gluten in it, our food has changed. And therefore, we must change the way we're eating that food and eliminate certain things from the diet if we want to have longevity and good health.
The wheat isn't the same. That's another big bombshell. What does that really mean and why?
Well, there are a lot of foods that have been genetically modified since the 1990s, and the problem is that a lot of the foods, after they were genetically modified, they weren't tested on humans to see what would happen when we would ingest those foods. The reason they were genetically modified is to provide larger sustainable crops. It was to create, it was good for the business perspective, you know, the crop, when an insect would eat a plant, the insect would die. Because the plant was modified to be resistant to pesticides and herbicides, right? So they spray the plant wouldn't die, but the insect eating the plant with the pesticide on it would die. Except what kind of inflammation did those pesticides and herbicides cause in our gut, you see? And wheat also has been genetically engineered. So if you look at wheat stalks of today and wheat stalks that our parents had, they're much, much shorter. They've been hybridized, so there's four times as much gluten in our gluten in our wheat of today than the wheat that our parents ate. So a lot of it does, unfortunately, have to do with big industry and money. And people are concerned with the sustainability of the food supply as the population of the earth has grown, and I understand that. But on my end, I would prefer that food that's genetically modified be labeled, so that I can make a choice when I go to the store whether I want to eat it genetically modified or I don't want to eat it.
Very interesting. You're not saying to people that you're going to take everything great out of their diet. There are substitutes for almost all the foods that contain gluten and lots of good products out there now. And we're not only isolating gluten. There are many other food groups that Americans consume way too much of.
Sure.
And then you see immigrant populations come over here that traditionally, you know, had none of the, you know, had little to no obesity or skin issues, and then you see them come over here and embrace a lot of the American diet, or the next generation of kids embraces the American diet, and suddenly you're seeing, you know, second-generation immigrant families that are having these typical American problems of weight issues and acne. And
yes, and there have been studies that show that when people come to this country, have been here, you know, countries with low cancer rates, when they come and live in the United States for a period of years, that they'll acquire our cancer rate because they're eating the American diet, the processed food diet. So everyone should try to eat as many fruits and vegetables a day, try to eat whole foods. I always tell everyone, try to eat a whole rainbow of colors each day in vegetables. You know, you can probably eliminate white. You don't really need potatoes. But, you know, try to eat red vegetables, yellow, purple, green. Get all of those antioxidants and those phytochemicals and micronutrients that are in fruits and vegetables, and give your body the nourishment that it needs. You're making about a billion cells a minute. So think about it. If all you eat today is Diet Coke and donuts, that's what you're fueling your body on to make those new cells. So what do you think? You know, what you put in is what comes out. Whether it's today or in 10 years, you're going to feel it eventually.
And it's even, you see thin people with this lack of quality of life and illness and all of these symptoms. It's not only the overweight population. I mean, there's plenty of skinny people who are not healthy.
I've seen many, many thin, malnourished people who are suffering from a lot of chronic illness, yes. It's not about your weight. You need to think about the things you expose your body to. We have this amazing system, you know, our human body is an absolute miracle. But if you're throwing toxins and pesticides and chemicals and, you know, you're drinking lots of alcohol, your diet is poor, how much do you think your body can take before it tips over the edge and starts to go down the path of illness? You have to really think about it. So I tell people to consider their total toxic burden, you know. If you really like to have a glass of wine at dinner and you really enjoy, I don't know, hamburgers are your thing, well, make a few adjustments. Maybe if you're at home, make yourself a hamburger with organic meat. Maybe have the bread, the Ezekiel bread, decrease your gluten if you're gluten sensitive. As you said, Emily, there are so many alternatives. So people who like french fries, I feed my kids fries that are made with butternut squash and acorn squash. I bought this thing called a T-Fall Active Fry. I put them in there, in 20 minutes they're done. They're roasted. My kids love them. They're delicious. So no, they don't get potato french fries, but they get these nutrient-dense fries that they absolutely love. So anything is possible, but you just have to start doing research. And the good thing is that because so many people are looking for answers, we now have in Wegmans and Whole Foods and all these stores, they have whole aisles of food options that weren't around 10 years ago. So it's much easier than it used to be.
Well, tell me about the big grand opening. The Falcom Center is officially cutting the ribbon and having a party, and people can come and see what you're all about.
Yeah, on December 18th from 2 to 8 p.m., we're having an open house event. It's a little bit of a conglomeration of all the things that we do. We're having a Botox event. We're having a meet and greet event. You can just come in and say hi and meet me and meet the staff. You're welcome to make an appointment prior to that if you'd like to. But that will be a very relaxed way just to come in and meet us, to know where the office is. We'll be there for at least, you know, 2 to 8 p.m. and to get sort of an introduction to what we're about. And I hope in the future to offer some just open lectures where people can ask questions in a more informal manner. So you can look at our website, which is www.drvictoriafalcone.com. And on there, periodically, I'll post future lectures and events.
Well, I think it's great. Congratulations on the grand opening, and thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Emily. It's always a pleasure to spread the word.